You are listening to Punk News Podcast number 721, and it's been a pretty action-packed couple of weeks here at Punk News, both internally at Punk News and in the news world. First of all, I'm here with Sammy B, back from Italy. Sammy B, how was Italy?
Italy was Napoli. Great. Yeah, everything was great. It was pizza, pasta, pastry, so the three main P's of my life, a.k.a. all the carbs. So Sam's in a detox. I had to learn what a green vegetable was or a leafy green looked like again. No, everything was great. I saw dead people at Pompeii. You know, I had a little art slash history slash, ruin stuff. I didn't realize how many rocks or ruins I was just staring at the entire time I was there. And for some strange reason, they're still excavating. They literally was digging for a new subway line and they found ruins. So now they have to stop digging that subway line because of a ruin.
Did Chris kind of stand on a gondola with a striped shirt and a straw hat and say, "When the moon hits your eye like a bigger pizza pie, that's amore"?
No, John. We were much farther south than Venice, so we didn't have to deal with any floodings or anything. But we were in crazy atmospheres for Fat Tuesday and stuff like that. So there was like. We ended up in Napoli. Napoli's insane, by the way. I love Italian so much. I wish I was Italian. I'm not. But Napoli's insane, and I love it because of the insanity. We ended up in a Mardi Gras procession for Fat Tuesday at some point. I was just like, oh, there's a lot of music happening, and then all I see is Chris running to see oh, look, there's a parade. And I'm like, I'm not running, my dear. I'll find you at some point. And I started walking in that direction. Yeah. I think someone was in the parade wearing a Mets jacket, a New York Mets jacket in Italy, and I was kind of looking at said person going, is this a costume to you? Because this is literally my real life and it's painful.
Well, there you go. Life is painful, as per Sam. Breaking news, Kevin Federline is getting sued for a $12,000 credit card bill by Bank of America. Apparently, he opened the credit card the month after he got the last child support payment from Britney Spears. So we're all wishing Kevin the best in beating his $12,000 credit card lawsuit. We're also here with Emore, what's going up there in snowy white Canada?
Hello. Yeah, the seasons are changing and it is murdering my sinus, but that's okay. And we might get another ice storm. So I am very stressed because I have a lot of stuff to do that needs the internet and I would like to remain electricity on. Yeah. Woo!
Wait, so are you seeing green on the ground and then snow soon?
We saw, we have grass here now. We still have snow, but we have little pockets of grass and it's very exciting.
Oh, that's disappointing. It's like they're just peeking out saying, "Hey, we're here temporarily." Not.
I really hope there's no ice storm, but yeah. Fingers are crossed, wood is knocked, everything that the horseshoe is hung, everything that can be, for good luck is.
Well, big week here at Punk News, a big couple of weeks. Of course, August 1 is going to be our class tribute show with Kepi Gooley plus members of the Slackers, Ara and Jay doing all Clash, plus Dan Bird of Chumbawamba doing all Clash, plus the Drugettes doing all Clash, plus the Draculas doing all Clash. That's August 1. That's going to be super exciting, super fun. That's Summer Soiree 9. But also, we mentioned it briefly last week when Danny Miller was here. We also have another kind of cool summer, or very cool summer show coming up. May 16th, matinee, 1 p.m., Dez Kadena doing all Black Flag for the first time since 1981. It's going to be pretty rad. And online, there's always buzzkillers online. 99.9% 99% people are psyched. There's always buzz killers online. Someone's like, I saw Dez do Black Flag, in Huntington Beach. It's like, yes, you saw him do two or three Black Flag songs, but you did not see an entire Black Flag set. And of course, Dez does Black Flag with Flag, but this is all Dez front and center. He's going to be backed by an all-star band led by Pat of Violent Society. That's going to be awesome. Also playing the Drugettes. Also playing Noun with Marissa Paternoster, Ashley of Pinkwash, and Nazreen. And also playing is The Brew, Philly anarcho-hardcore punk rock, members of Witch Hunt and members of Mischief Brew. And it is going to be extremely cool. That's selling very quick. Both those shows are selling very quickly. So you probably should get tickets sooner rather than later, especially since I'm going to be handing out flyers at the Slackers show this weekend and at the Circle Jerk show next month. So that's what's in the chamber. Also, we had Danny Miller of Surfboard on last week, and that was an awesome episode. We played some games, which was a lot of fun. The new Surfboard record is out. It's friggin' awesome. Also, I interviewed Joe Lally of Fugazi this week, and that's up as a 720.5 right now. He's debuting a new kind of act this Thursday, which I'll be at in Philadelphia. Also, just quickly, this past weekend, I saw Noun, Marissa Paternoster, Ashley, and Nazreen in Philadelphia at the First Unitarian Church. They are just on fire. No, I'm sorry. It was Universal Girlfriend, which is just Noun plus Augusta of Cayetana. So Marissa, Augusta, Ashley, and Nazreen. And I'll tell you, people, Universal Girlfriend is the band to watch out for right now. The brand new band. They sound awesome. The music is great. It's very intense. It rocks. It's rad. Then I had to leave that show early to rush uptown to see the Mara Weaver band. And well, first of all, the Mara Weaver band, it's always a different incarnation, which is cool, but they played most of the new album and they sounded absolutely fantastic. Kind of more rocky than the record. The record is kind of sad or kind of, the record has a lot of different textures, but live they kind of like rock and destroy, and they were awesome. So if you can see the Mara Weaver band, definitely go see the Mara Weaver band. What was funny though, it was in Kensington, but not just Kensington, deep Kensington. Sam, do you know about Kensington, or maybe you don't?
No, I don't hang out in your parts of the world too much.
Kensington is North Philadelphia, deep hood, man, deep hood. But not only that, Kensington is one of the worst drug places in America. If you look on Wikipedia, it's like famous for its quote open air drug market, which I don't even really know what that is. Like, does that just mean there's like a bunch of dealers hanging out or whatever? And so, I'm driving through Kensington and I'm like, oh man, like I brought the white truck instead of my car, which is kind of cool. And so, but even though I got like this white truck, I'm parking. There's all these like burnout cars, there's cars missing tires, I'm like, great, man. When I come back, I hope my catalytic converter is still there, And of course, I pulling up, and there's a bad boy on the corner right there. I'm like, great, man. He's looking at me. I'm like, great, man. Everyone thinks they're tough till they go to Deep Kensington at 11 p.m., which is not a good idea. And so, anyways, the show was awesome. The spot was some college, because they've got kind of like this complex in there because like rent is basically free there because it's Kensington. But I gotta say, man, like I don't necessarily recommend it because it's been a while since I've been in an area that bad. Kensington is a rough area, but even more than rough, just like you see like just addicts like passed out on the street, like all not on the street, on the sidewalk all over. They take that drug where you like slump backwards but you're still standing up and you're like in outer space. Do you guys know what I mean? That whatever the drug that is.
No, I'm not into drugs.
Well, good. Say no to drugs. But it's like not even heroin. It's like something way worse than heroin. So, anyways, that was kind of an interesting thing. So listen, if you're throwing a house show, don't throw it in Kensington. Kensington, especially now, Kensington's pretty bad. Anyways, on with the show. Punk in the Park has been canceled. The lead up was kind of dramatic. I'm trying to remember everybody that dropped, but let's see. I believe Naked Aggression was the first band that dropped, but maybe there was one other band before then. Then like Manic Hispanic dropped off Punk in the Park. And let's see who else dropped off the park. Oh, then Dead Kennedys issued a statement saying, we're going to play because we don't want to let our fans down, but we're not going to play Punk in the Park in the future. And then Jello Biafra kind of saw that opportunity and he issued kind of a great quote. Let me see if I can find it real quick. If the listeners don't know, Punk in the Park was facing criticism because the founder, Brouhaha Productions, the owner had donated money to the Trump campaign last year. And actually that had been known for a while, but for some reason it kind of came up like mid last year. And so they've been facing some criticism since then. And so after Dead Kennedy released their statement, Jello released his own statement. He said, "They're taking the money and then pulling out. The real Dead Kennedys would never have let that happen in the first place. One more sort of reason I don't want to ever play with them again." And there's really, if you ask me, that's kind of what that was the thing that really set the whole thing on fire. Following that, somebody else dropped out. Who dropped out after that? Do you guys remember? The
This
Addicts. The
after,
Addicts
yeah, the
dropped out.
Addicts, yeah.
And the Addicts were kind of headlining, and frankly, I mean, the Addicts are, they're a fine band, they're cool, but if the Addicts are headlining your festival, that's not, is that a festival or is that just a show? I kind of think that's a show if the Addicts are headlining, you know? And so anyways, the Addicts dropped out, and then, so eventually Punk in the Park folded, and it didn't happen. So here's the Punk in the Park statement. "It's with a heavy heart that we announced the cancellation of the Punk in the Park Roadshow scheduled for 2026. These shows were something we truly believed in, and we know how much they meant to many of you. Unfortunately, the current climate surrounding the events has created challenges that make it impossible for us to move forward in a way that delivers the experience our fans, artists, and partners deserve. This is incredibly disappointing for everyone involved. Our goal has always been to bring people together through music, community, and shared passion. And it's painful when circumstances prevent that from happening. All ticket holders will receive full refunds automatically at their original point of purchase within the next week. No actions required. We want to sincerely thank the fans who supported us, the bands who stood with us, and the crews who worked hard behind the scenes. Your belief in these events has meant more than you know. We hope this is not the end of Punk in the Park, but rather a pause while we regroup and look toward the future." And that was the end of Punk in the Park. So two questions. Is it the end of the Punk in the Park? And what's your analysis? I'll just give my quick analysis. I'm all for freedom of speech. I think you should be able to say what you want to say, but I also believe you should vote with your dollar. I feel almost as strongly that you should vote with your dollar as I do in freedom of speech. And what annoyed me about this statement was two main things. First of all, it's, "Oh no, I'm suffering the consequences of my own actions. Poor me." You know, there's really no accountability here or anything. And second, it's like you got to draw the line somewhere, man. There's no way punk rock and supporting Donald Trump fit together. And some people say, "Well, it's only $500." Yeah, yes, it's only $500, but it's the whole thing behind it. I mean, you have to draw a line somewhere. Also, people said, "Well, you know, people cancel this, but you know, Ticketmaster donates to Donald Trump too," which is true. And actually, we're gonna do a story tomorrow about basically how Ticketmaster is bribing Donald Trump so they can be antitrust laws, which we're gonna talk about tomorrow. But that being said, just because you can't kill the giant doesn't mean you shouldn't kill, you know, the evil troll or whatever. You know what I mean? So what some people said is, "Well, you still go to Ticketmaster, don't you?" It's like, well, I'm affecting the places where I can affect. There's some areas I can't affect, but I can affect this. So I think it was pretty cool that the punk community affected the thing that they had the ability to affect, which was kind of cool. And like I said, I'm astounded that anybody, I guess I'm not astounded that anybody into punk rock would be into Trump because you're always going to need some whack job. But I'm astounded that someone that has the wherewithal to create a seemingly successful festival multiple years in a row would like punk but donate to Donald Trump. That just seems bizarre to me. I mean, just seems so bizarre. And I think it's cool how the bands that certain bands stuck up for their principles. And I think Jello's statement was the real, you know, the real coup d'etat, not coup d'etat, the real coup de grace. It was really the slash that I think brought the whole thing down. So I thought that was pretty cool. And like I said, I would have thought that this was going to go on no matter what, because I always say people value convenience above all else. But here, people kind of put their money where their mouth is and say, "We're not cool with this, and we don't want to go to it." And that's why the thing kind of collapsed. So the punk community came together and made a statement, which I think was a pretty powerful statement. And we're going to talk about the sequel story to this in a hot second. But Sam, you haven't been on in a little while. What's your feeling about this? Is it fair to quote shut down a festival like this just because you don't like what the guy that donated to the Donald Trump campaign? How do you feel about still going to Ticketmaster, which definitely donates way more to Trump than this guy did? And how do you feel about this event? And what do you think was the kick it over moment? Or was there no one kick it over moment? It was a growing snowball. What's your perspective?
So, in regards to the Ticketmaster Live Nation debacle over there, one, those two damn companies have had a pretty much monopoly in ticketing and venues for eons. However, the company itself ha has never been quote unquote under punk ethos, right? I was like, Punk in the Park, supposedly, is all about punk ethos. I was like, it's literally like punk is in the name of the thing, right? So you would think that if you're going, to be punk is, kind of like in a way sometimes anarchy, going against the government and, like doing what's right, And I do understand that. Like even living in New York, which is a pretty like democratic state, right? For the most part, except for one island. Like it's like you kind of like there's a lot of people here. When it comes to like the politics, will fluctuate based on, I guess, their circumstances. Now, I don't exactly know if the people that runs Punk in the Park is actually making millions off of, these punk shows or festivals.
They're definitely at least making a nice paycheck. We can put it that way.
Yes,
They're making a nice paycheck.
I know they're making a nice paycheck. I don't know if they're making millions, but I do know that sometimes people that are looking to be millionaires or looking to that have a lot or have will support Donald Trump and his party because essentially they have built a platform that they don't want to tax the rich and stuff like that. Now, I, Sam, I will not speak for the rest of y'all's, but I don't necessarily believe that that mo model or mantra is necessarily helpful for the safety, sanity, and or economics of the rest of the people, because the most of us are we're middle class, hardworking humans, like we're the Chuck Reagans of this world, right? But yeah, there's to me, there's a severe disconnect, and I personally, if founded, if my, I guess, inner circle of people is not necessarily aligned to the way that I think, I will think twice about working with them, especially if it's like something like this. Now, this entire thing about like, we knew that this person have donated a couple hundred dollars to the Trump campaign for a little while now. So this is not like new news as of like this week, right? So, I would think that people would have just said, no, I don't want to work with you before. So I do understand that some bands are like, well, the money was right. I'm gonna do it, but now since people are pissed, I'm not gonna do it any further, things like that. I get it. I do commend the bands that have totally dropped off. May even though they didn't make a terrible statement about like why they dropped off, but I was like, I think it, we hear it loud and clear that they definitely dropped off for reasons. And that's definitely what's facilitated the closure of a festival like this. However, I would have to say a lot of the Punkin' Parks have been more or less the same lineups in some kind of regurgitated form. So, that that stopped that this year. I honestly don't know if they're going to continue because, this is pretty, they're not going to continue anytime soon, I don't think. I think it's going to take some time if they want to, come back, but not as Punk in the Park or Brouhaha or any of this stuff, right? to come back in the future. So I don't know what they're gonna do, but I do f really feel bad for the crew that works for them because they're literally trying to work and make money, and now they're caught in between this, you know? Yeah, I've never gone to a pumpkin park because I don't live in that coast or any of the places they have actually had a road show go to yet. But I just imagine it being like a whole bunch of punks in a park and music happening. So I could totally see that happening with different promoters. Does that make sense? I think so. Em, what is your take?
Yeah, I think kind of at this point with so many bands dropping off, they didn't really have a chance but to cancel because it's like who was left on the bill, you know? And yeah, like
Also,
they
wouldn't it look really bad if they like had all these bands drop off and they're like, "Oh, all of these new bands are coming."
Yeah, exactly. Like who would they even get, you know? Like that's what I'm trying to think of is like who just wouldn't care.
Michael Graves.
Well, true. But yeah, I don't think Punk in the Park's gonna come back. Because I think every time that this is gonna like they're gonna try the Trump donation is gonna come back. And it's going to be like, hey, why are you on this festival when this is like, this has been known for, you know, well over a year and stuff like that. And obviously, you can argue, like, why were these bands booked? Because this has been news for well over a year. But yeah, I don't think they're going to come back that way. It'll be interesting to see what happens to the Mi Gusta Fest and see if anything goes on there because that's also a Brouhaha production, and I don't think anyone has dropped off of that yet.
Ooh, M.
Well, very much to M's point is the OC Super Show is now, we'll say, under attack or under criticism. The OC Super Show is also run by Brouhaha Productions. And the reason it was called the OC Super Show was because the Aquabats were headlining it, and they've got something called like the Aquabats Super Show. Sorry, listeners, I'm not too up to date on Aquabats lore, but I believe they have something called the Super Show. And so people were criticizing the Aquabats for playing the OC Super Show because of the Trump thing, which is, and of course, OC Super Show is run by Brouhaha. So the Aquabats then actually dropped off the OC Super Show, even though the festival was kind of named after them. Following that, Phoenix, Texas, dropped off the OC Super Show because they were getting criticism. But then something interesting happened. Save Ferris was also getting criticism, and then Save Ferris issued a statement, and I'm going to read their statement. Why we won't back down. Regarding the OC Super Show at the Great Park in Irvine, California on March 14, in all the years and the numerous brouhahas that we've played, I have never, and this is Monique Powell, the singer speaking, I've never heard of or communicated with Cameron Collins, that he owns Brouhaha Productions. I have no idea who he is. After looking him up, it appears he contributed something like $250 to a political campaign, one whose views I personally do not subscribe to. I personally believe he should have stepped down before numbers of shows were canceled due to fan outrage around him. I'm still waiting for him to do that. Everyone is welcome at a Save Ferris show, regardless of political stance. When I brought the band back in 2013, I set a few ground rules that I've tried my best to stick to. Don't engage in controversy. Keep politics out of it. Create a space for music unity and joy. I want everyone, even those whose views I may disagree with, to feel welcome into a space filled with laughter, music, and connection. Maybe through that we can find common ground. Our time together at a show is meant to connect, not divide. In the precious hours we share, I want us to experience what it feels like to come together in support of live music, art, beauty, and joy. That's why our motto is Ska Now More Than Ever, because we need each other now more than ever. Connecting on Connection or Outrage, Music Over Division. I live and breathe this band. I'm so grateful for the fans who have stuck with Safe Harris for 30 years. And all that time, I've only ever dropped out of one show. As I get older, I know my time on the stage isn't unlimited. Whatever time I have left, I want to be about love, about giving back what you've given me. You might be surprised how many bands, musicians, promoters, managers, and agents support views different from ours. I've certainly been shocked when artists I love reveal beliefs I strongly disagree with. But Safe Ferris, the people that love Safe Ferris, serve a bigger purpose. So we play, we sing, we dance, and we choose to accept. Since the scales feel tilted and the promoters for the show have shown no interest in donating a portion of the proceeds from the show out of their own profit, isn't that interesting? We'd like to help balance the scales a little. A percentage of our earnings from the show will be donated to a charity chosen by you, our fans. Please vote in the comments. NAACP, National Organization for Women, World Relief SoCal, The Trevor Project, Punk Rock Saves Lives, Ska Now More Than Ever. Comments are reserved for those wanting to help a cause, not to debate or create controversy. If you oppose the show happening, please contact Cameron Collins directly and let him know how you feel. I completely support you in that. XOXO Monique. Well, that comment didn't sit too well with a lot of people. Some people liked it, but a lot of people didn't like it. So they took down that statement. They put up a new statement. Here's the new statement. Thank you to everyone that shared thoughts, thoughtful feedback, and took time to vote. Your voices truly matter. Because of you, we are donating $1,000 to the Trevor Project out of the profit from our show. I respect everyone's passions and convictions about this subject. I believe real change comes from honest conversation. That would not have been possible if we hadn't come together to talk about something we care deeply about. At the end of the day, I only want to bring people together through music, through community, through kindness. Thank you for being here. Also, in the comments section, Monique posted a statement and then deleted it. Here's the statement that was posted and deleted. I've heard you. You keep saying the same thing, and I've had 24 hours of incredible debate on this. Anyone trying to comment at this point is just crying out for attention. That's why I hid your comments. Yes, the original post was deleted. It did its job. This is not a MAGA show. It's just a show. It's not a political show. It's just a show. You spent years throwing your money at the same promoter, making him millions, while you attended Punk and Drublic, Brouhaha, or Punk in the Park. You should have vetted him before you put money in your pocket. You too are guilty. You attended these shows of far-right artists and promoters, and every day you had no clue. But where's your righteous indignance there? We are not far right. We are not right. We are not MAGA. We are the opposite of that. Playing this show in opposition of your expression of your own privilege is my expression of anarchist rebellion, because no one will tell me when or where I can play a show. I subscribe to the view of both no one and everyone. I refuse to pick a side when the only choices are either ignorance or cult behavior. Neither allow for freedom of thought. And oh yeah, it's hard to be a Nazi when you're a Jewish daughter of a North African immigrant. And then she posted that statement, and then that statement got pretty negative feedback and was then deleted. And so, couple questions: will the OC Super Show happen? Will and that really is scheduled to happen in about 3 days. And what's your all stance on Safe Ferris? So I'll give my stance. I think Safe, I mean, I really don't know what her political opinion is. I always get worried. Like, listen, man, Trump is bad. MAGA is bad. I mean, that's bad news. You know, it's not Republican. It's MAGA. It's Trump. It's bad news, you know. And so if someone is bad news, if you don't say, I disagree with this, well, she does say she disagrees with you, but you don't make your own position clear, that's a little suspect to me. You know what I mean? And so she also kind of says, we're not a political band. Well, that's nice in good times, but at this time, at this point in time, saying things, quote, aren't political is, I hate to say things come from privilege because I hate that word, but it does come from privilege. Working class Hispanics don't have that privilege. They cannot be political because they are under attack by a racist president. Look at Bad Bunny, who's not even, I mean, he's a rich guy. It just for the mere fact that he's Puerto Rican, which is America, he was labeled un-America by un-American by Trump, you know. And so I don't think that's a good point that, you know, we're not going to be political, you know. And also she's like, I want to find a common ground. Well, the fact of the matter is, I mean, and overall I salute that position, but with MAGA and with Trump, those people have made it clear they hate gay people, they hate women, they hate Hispanic people, they hate black people. You know, so I there's no common ground with someone that's only out to destroy and rule. You know, they're not coming from a place of good faith. They're coming from a place of hatred and anger, control and destruction. And frankly, they're just idiots because all they're really doing is making super rich dudes richer that don't give a shit about them. You see, so there's no real common ground there. Now, I'm down for convincing them. I don't necessarily think all MAGA people are evil. I think some of them are evil, but I think a lot of them are very misinformed, are very confused, and you know, they don't really know what they're talking about. So I'm down to have a conversation. I'm down to, you know, politely engage with them, but there's no common ground with someone that's racist, you know, short of them saying you're right, I'm wrong about being racist. There's no common ground with someone that thinks Elon Musk or Bezos should have $1 trillion while teachers don't even make $38,000 a year. There's no common ground there, you see. And so the statement of Monique, on its face, I guess you could say it's all right, but it's really a pretty whack statement, you know. And so I think it was a pretty weak statement, and I think it's not really a good look, you know. I think maybe there might have been a way for her to, I think maybe the better statement would have been is, listen, we're playing the show because this guy is MAGA, and we're definitely against MAGA, so we're bringing our message to a place where not everyone agrees with us, and we're telling the creeps MAGA is whack. That would have been the better statement, as opposed to, we're not political, we just want to be friends with everybody. Well, I don't want to be friends with a Nazi. I don't want to be friends with a racist. You know what I mean? To quote the specials, if you, oh, what's the line? If you've got a racist friend, it's time for your friendship to end. You know, which I, you know, I don't. I mean, I think racist actually can be taught that that's bad or explained that that's bad. And but some races are straight up racist. The point being, I think the statement is weak and lacking and sort of weirdly supportive. And also the fact that she's blaming the fans in her statement that, well, you saw the. People didn't know then, you know. And I think attacking your fans is always a poor choice, you know. So I think she kind of freaked out and made some bad calls here. Will this affect her in the long run? Probably not, because people have short memories. As to will OC Super Show take place, the answer is yes. It's going to take place. It won't be as big as they hoped, but we're going to talk about what's going to be the next step in a hot second. Sam, OC Super Show will
Yes.
take place. What do you think of Monique Powell's statement? What do you think of this whole debacle? I mean, Punk in the Park was a debacle. This one we'll say is a skirmish. What do you think of the skirmish?
The skirmish is gonna happen. OC Super Show will live on because you still have Story of the Year in Lit. It's funny because I'm actually on the website right now and they haven't taken Phoenix TX off. Of their website. Also they have something that's they have and more listed, which I'm like, what's more? I was like, everyone's like leaving. What's going on?
Michael Graves, I'm here. Somebody wants me. Take off her clothes. Sing with me now, everybody. Clap your hands, you know.
Exactly. Michael Graves is gonna show up. But yeah, it's gonna happen. This is gonna happen. You still have other bands on the list. It's not yes, the headlining band Aquabats is gone, and Phoenix TX is gone, but you still have other people. I think Saint Ferris should have pretty much went to the PR person and cleared a couple things. Because this doesn't look good at all. I was like, you cannot. I understand we all have a voice here, right? We all have things that we need to say. And, sometimes that's why some people have personal accounts and sometimes people have band accounts, right? I don't think it's a good look to blame your fans. I think your fans want what's best for the band because they also feel like they're part of the band. One,
True,
two.
true. Sam, you make a very, when people are into a band, they feel like, not that they're in the band, but the band and them are sharing some common thing.
Exactly. So a part of it is I what my beliefs and my ethos is, I believe that this band will have similar ethos, right? Which clearly is not the case here because if your fans are coming to you saying this is bad, this is bad, this is bad, and what you're doing is shutting it down and, releasing a statement like this, this doesn't look good to them. They're actually getting rejected in a way, right? And now you let them down in a way. Yes, I do understand as a band you want to continue to play, and your intentions as a band might be different than the intentions of the people that you roll with, right? But then yet again, I was like, you're rolling with these people, and if these people are perceived to be bad people, then it's not going to look good on you at all. So, you kind of have to take that into consideration. I have no idea how much these people are paying any of these bands to be on this crazy super show. I do know that tickets are still available, so if you really want to go, it's there. But I really think that this could have been done a lot better. I also think that, Aquabats specifically could have just been, F this. This doesn't fit in my ethos. Guess what? We're gonna open a show. Same time, different place. And we're just gonna roll with it because, I just wanna play. If Seafarers did that, I would give them a lot more props than this statement. This does stink of, oh, I'm getting a lot of money for this.
See, I don't think they're getting that much money. I mean, how much, what's say Seafarers' draw really? 150 people? 200 maybe? So how much can they really be making off of that, you know?
Well, the other thing is this lineup is like very weird and diverse.
Yeah.
So it's like I can't tell because I can't tell how many people like I know people love the Aquabats. I know people will just go to see Aquabats. But now you have the story of the year. How many people is just gonna go to see Story of the Year, and how many people is actually gonna show up just to go see Lit? Lit! Lit's a band that haven't even put out new music recently.
I want to like who's like a Lit fan and who's like Lit's my favorite. Who's like Lit is my favorite band.
I'm literally like imagining like Guy Fieri types of guys going to see Lit, which I don't think are the same people that would go see Seafarers, by the way. I don't know. You guys could tell me if you've gone to see Lit and see Ferris, and if the same people are there, then let us know.
I actually have seen Lit way back in the day in like 1998 or 1999. It was Lit, Blink 182, Sum 41, and Bush. And all bands were, they were all terrible. It was bad.
But John, that was like a time and a place type of like grouping of people. I was like, Story of the Year just put out an album, Arson. I was like, Seafarers, have they even put anything out? I don't think
No,
so.
Seafarers has two albums, both in the 90s. They only have two albums. That
Exactly.
shocked
They
me.
have Oh my God.
They.
haven't put anything out recently. And does anyone care about Lit? Not at Punk News. I don't think we
I
care.
don't think.
But like
No.
Phoenix TX like was a thing like back in the day, like for a lot of people my age. So like I kind of get that, but like I really have not paid attention to them in like eons. So yeah, I this is a weird lineup for me at least.
Listen, Sam, you should have researched the festival last year. You should have done your due diligence, Sam. You are at fault here.
Well, Sam was too busy like vacationing and like yelling at people on Punk News. So, we'll just take that as what Sam's been doing this entire time instead of researching the OC Super Show and or Brouhaha.
What
Although,
if Oh, go
remember,
ahead.
Brouhaha did have some stuff to do with Punk and Drublic.
They were all Trump Punk and Drublic, and before that, they were no, yeah, they were the Trump Punk and Drublic, and they were the final NoFX tour. That's all brouhaha.
Exactly.
M,
Yes.
do you think the OC Super Show will take place? What's your feeling about, say, Ferris?
I think the OC Super Show will take place because it's already booked and they're trying to salvage it. And he said it's like not very far away. So I think they're just going to be like, ah, whatever. Like, however many people show up, however many people show up, that's that. Because I think at this point it's going to be too much money for them to fully cancel it, or whatever. I don't think many people are going to show up. Because, yeah, like the lineup is very odd. And yeah, exactly. Like, who's going to go just for like lit set or, whatever. With Save Ferris, I think, what was it? It was something on like Ska Twitter, I think, back when I was using Twitter all those years ago. That's how I found out about Save Ferris, and I checked out the album. So I was like, okay, like they're not bad, this is kind of fun or whatever. But to be honest, like the statement made me lose a lot of respect for the band because it's like, exactly. If you want to play a show because you're getting older or whatever, you can put on your own show. You don't have to be a part of this. You don't have to like, do all that kind of stuff. Saying that you're not political is a huge like red flag. And in my experience, if someone says they're not political, it's a huge dog whistle as to what side and what ideology they actually do support. I'm not saying that's the case here because they did make it very clear, hey, we're not cool with this. But it's also, if you're not cool with this, why don't you take a stand and drop off the festival or, whatever, if you can like do it because other bands are doing it. Again, everyone's in their own like place, like with contracts or whatever, but still a headliner dropped off. I think you're cool if you want to leave. So that's what I think with that thing. And then with the now deleted comment on the second statement, it just seems very like projecting, like, oh, you should have known this, you should have done your research, you should have done all that kind of stuff. And it's like, yep.
No, and you got it wrong. It's you should have done your research. You should have done your. You can't handle the truth.
I'm like pointing at my screen every you. But yeah, and again, it's like that this stuff didn't come out until like a year or a year and a bit ago. It's like you knew. You had time to look into this. You agreed to play this show, you know what I mean? So, I don't know. It's an interesting can of worms. I think it's a wrong call, and I think that it's gonna leave a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths.
And what if, say, Ferris got up there and they had like an anti-Trump backdrop, and they threw a bunch of like pamphlets into the crowd that explains why Trump is so bad and MAGA is bad, and spoke about that on stage. How would you feel then?
I think that'd be really cool. Like, I think that'd be great and good for them.
Yeah, I think that's really the path to getting yourself out of the jam here. And I think, say, Ferris just, chose not to take that path, which in of that itself is kind of a statement that they didn't take that path, and so this ties into the third part of the story, and then we're going to move on to some fun. Actually, we're going to move on to a bummer, then some fun stuff. So, of course, Brouhaha is also running Sublime Fest, which is called Megusta Fest. How will, and I'll point out that Punk in the Park, most political bands. OC Super Show, kind of sort of political bands. Megusta Fest, not political bands, except for Cypress Hill, who have political lyrics. What's going to happen there? I'll give you the answer: nothing, because none of those fans care about this at all, and it's going to go fine. And what's going to happen is Brouhaha Productions is going to realize, well, the Punk in the Park brand is tainted, so I'll just do these festivals under a different name with bands that maybe the fans aren't as actively involved in the world around them and just want to hear good times, and that's what I'll do and make easy money. I don't need this crap. And so I'm certainly kind of pleased that Brouhaha is having a bumpy road these past few months, but will it capsize him entirely? The answer is no. But at least the punks voted with their dollar, which I think is great. Sam, what do you think? Megusta Fest, which, as I pointed out before, I do find it actively perverse that as anti-Latino people, Latina people, as the Trump campaign has been, I find it actively sick and perverse that the fest is called Me Gusta Fest, a Spanish language name. And I also find it whack that Sublime is playing it because half of Sublime's music is in Spanish. One third of it is borrowed from black people, as in rap and reggae, and the other third is punk, but that done it. One fourth is in punk. And I find it actively messed up that Sublime was associated with that in any context. But as I recently learned, a real bummer to me, Bud Gow has been spotted in Make America Great Clothing, which is whack, man. You're in Sublime, dude. You're in Sublime, Sam. They're in Sublime. Ugh.
John, money does things to
I don't think
people.
it's money. I think they're down with it. I think they're down with the
I
cause.
don't care. I don't want to be down with no causes. But
But I
yeah,
think Sublime
no.
is, which is insane to me. They're Sublime.
Yeah.
Brad Noel would not stand for this, Sam. Brad
But
Noel would not stand for this.
the yeah, so like unfortunately, yes, this engine is going to continue to rebrand themselves as much as they can, because every single time, oh, you actually have to actively look into Brouhaha and all of their affiliates in
You're right.
order to figure out who's actually who. So if we didn't, like, the punks are hyper aware people, right? I would have to say. And as soon as like one little thing comes up, we're all like all over it. And this has also been like in our little like subgenre circle for a little while now. I was like, we just have to get it to trickle down to like, the other places. But these other festivals, they're also catering to more I don't want to say generic, but like more mainstream peoples.
Rose.
Yes. So, so it's kind of like, the bros might actually be down with that
They are.
or might not care about that, and they're just there for the vibes and the music and the beer, So, unfortunately, us punks, with our convictions, are doing the things that we do best, which is like shut down things that we care about. We care about because these people are actively hurting, or at least helping fund people that are hurting other people, because that's ultimately what is happening right now. This administration has not been nice to people. These other shows, if they're smart and they get the correct people on the bills, they're just going to continue doing their normal business. I'm actually shocked. Like, HR bad brains, you haven't dropped off?
He well, I'm gonna be straight up. HR, a legendary musician, he's out of it. Like he's totally out of it. Like
Yeah.
he's.
He's there.
I've considered booking him a couple of times because he lives actually right down the street from where we throw a lot of shows in Philly. But I mean, he's out of it. Like he's just any. Well, I don't want to speak out of school. He's out of it. Doesn't that though that well does that give him an excuse being out of it? Because his
No.
manager shouldn't put him on this,
Well, maybe his manager doesn't care. I don't know.
Are you sure he's playing this? I don't see him here. Sublime, Fetty Stupid, Pennywise, Long Beach Dub All Stars, the Ataris, and the co-defendants who have been getting some heat, but not enough to make them drop off. I don't see HR here though.
Wait, what website am I looking at? I don't know. I'm looking at a website for May 9th, 2026 in Texas.
No, this one's July 18 in Utah.
Oh, yeah, no, I have no idea what I'm looking at. I'm looking at something about Texas.
Okay, well, HR has been exonerated.
He's good now. Okay.
But I mean, HR's got its own controversy, of course, from years ago.
Always. Don't everyone have controversy?
M. What do you think is going to happen with Me Gusta Fest? And what do you think of co-defendants playing Me Gusta Fest, Em? What do you think of that?
With Me Gusta Fest, I agree with like what you guys have been saying, with like it is more into the mainstream sort of crowd where they're probably not paying too much attention. They're just like, ooh, I get to see Sublime and I get to see this pe these people or this band and these artists, and just kind of pay for their ticket.
I misspoke.
So
There's several Megusta Fests. I thought it was one show. There's one with Sublime,
okay.
Slightly Stupid, Long Beach All-Stars, Co-Defendants. There's another one with Sublime, Cypress Hill, Interrupters, Co-Defendants. So there's at least two. I thought there was only. There's another one. Here we go. Here's another one. May 9. Sublime, Slightly Stupid, Irration, The Ataris, Co-Defendants, HR, Bad Brains. Sam is correct.
Oh, I'm not crazy. Cool.
Hey, nice. Oh, wow. Okay.
So I didn't realize that was a roving thing, frankly.
Oh, well, isn't this the same thing as what we were just discussing? They were going to have like
Punk in the
three
Parks.
locations for Punk in the Park, so this makes
Yeah.
sense. It's the same model, just different.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I take back every nice thing I said about Jacob Nowell. I was giving him a pass, but no more. I hate Time Traveler now. That song sucks. I hate it.
But like, didn't some of the bands that are on like the bill speak either speak out about Punk in the Park or play Punk in the Park and then say like we're not playing it again or something?
I mean, if you recall, Dropkick Murphys, after the news broke,
Well,
Dropkick Murphys says we're not doing it anymore.
no, I meant on the Migusta
I don't
lineup.
think so. I think the Megusta lineup's the same.
Oh, okay. So like none of the people who are playing Migusta ever played Punk in the Park or released
No,
any statements about
oh,
Punk in the
Co-Defendants.
Park.
I think the Co-Defendants might have played Punk in the Park.
Yeah, certainly bands on Megusta Fest have played Punk in the Park. I think Interrupters have, Co-Defendants definitely have.
And neither of them have said anything about that performance or those performances with Punk in the Park, correct?
Well, the only thing that either of them have said is that Co-Defendants got in a argument in the comments section with people that didn't want them to play, and they basically said, "We're definitely going to play no matter what," and they attacked the people criticizing them.
All right, that makes no sense. Like why would they continue to play it unless it's just kind of like a haha fuck you kind of thing. You can't tell us what to do.
Give me a second. I'll see if I can pull up their statement, which would, to be fair, we should read. If give me a second to
Sure.
find it, you guys can keep talking.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's just surprising how many of like the same bands, or I guess it's not really surprising, but it's just like, how so many of the same bands are on the festivals kind of year after year. I think there's not a ton of variation.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing over and over,
Well, I think I said that before. I was like,
Yeah.
it's pretty much
Yeah.
like the same, like every year. Okay, so it might not be like every year face to face plays like a Punk in the Park, but it's like, like maybe they'll play every other year. You might get like, you throw in a Bouncing Souls or something like that, but yeah, it's generally the same kind of like genre of like the epifat bands that would like play. So which is very on par with like, Punk and Droblik. Like it's the same range of people, or friends that plays these things.
So,
Migusta's different because this is not necessarily that. However, you do have the Co-Defends thrown in there.
no me gusta. Anyways, here's what Co-Defendants have said. Someone on Instagram named Joey Diaz said, "You should ditch Cameron Collins, MAGA, me gusta. Makes you look bad." Criticism, not the meanest statement in the world. You know what I mean? Then their Co-Defendant's response was, "That's hilarious coming from a bot undercover like you. You don't like the fact that you are outrageous selective and you are picking on one festival owner and smaller bands instead of facing the reality that nearly every festival of this size is operated by far bigger Trump donors. What a cause you have." And I will say, Punk, Punk Rock Bowling. Anti-MAGA, I should. So that's what they're saying is not true. Then there's another statement. Y'all reactionary short-sighted warriors are so obsessed with what bosses do, you forget about hundreds of employees who are losing work. Whenever you follow money, it's going to lead to places, people, corporations you disagree with. Why focus on one festival and owner and ignore all the rest? It's illogical and would be hypocritical of us. So that's the co-defendant statement.
Ah, okay.
What I think their statement is wrong is I don't think like if Adolf Hitler called me up and said, "Hey John, you want to drive a truck for me?" and I did it and people criticized me, I don't think, well, it's a job. I need a job. There's other jobs after. I don't have to work for Hitler. You know what I mean? And so I don't think that's necessarily a good defense by them that there's people working for MAGA Fest, so we shouldn't criticize it, you know? What he's mad about, he's mad about capitalism. People are voting with their dollar and it's not going the way they like. Well, that's capitalism. I'm all for it in that context, frankly, you know. And people are voting against MAGA with their bucks, which I think is good.
Also, if you don't believe in that, right, just don't buy a ticket. Don't go.
Yeah.
Well, no, but see, well, that's the thing. But the co-defendants are saying you shouldn't criticize it because other music festivals are Trump donors as well. But like I said, is I don't think that argument holds up because just because I can't change the world doesn't mean I shouldn't change the things I can change, you
Yeah.
see. And so I think their
Well,
argument falls apart.
yeah, I do think there's a lot of people out there that are Trump donors. Like, look at all of our
Not
streaming
punk rock bowling.
services. No, not them. But like, look at our streaming services. All of the sh almost all of the streaming services, almost all, not all, they were all like, in essence, Trump supporters, right?
Yes.
But I think this goes back to the fact that, these streaming services, they don't necessarily have the punk ethos
True.
that, we believe in and that we believe that they have. So it's kind of like, as a person that, deals with bands and deals with, decisions of stuff, I was like, yes, I stream. I'm not necessarily paying for it, right? But I was like, when I do see these bands, I make sure that my hard-earned US dollars gets put into their pockets by buying merch, by buying stuff from them, by buying stuff from labels that, I back. 'Cause I'm not buying records from labels I'm not backing anymore. like things like that, so I'm making sure that my money is going where I want it to go in that sense, even though it's making my life harder because I ha have to, wait until said band comes to my city for me to wait in line to get said merch instead of just pre-ordering it and, relieving my mental anxiety over, am I going to get this variant or not? but yeah, no, I there's a lot in this world that like we don't necessarily want to believe in, but we just have to deal with. But I think the overarching thing is, do you identify as a punk? Do you believe, subscribe to this? And if you do, why are you doing these things?
Well, I think it comes down to change what you can change. We can change Punk in the Park. We can't change Ticketmaster, as has been shown just now
Nope.
with them bribing the president for an antitrust suit. But we can change Punk in the Park. So, also, you know what other festival is not a Trump donor aside from Punk Rock Bowling?
Who's a fest?
Yes. And what else?
Well, they're Canadian.
New Friends Fest.
Summer Soiree 9 with Danbert doing the Clash and the Slackers and Kevin Cool doing the Clash. $0 going to Trump. It's not that hard. Let's do another kind of bummer story.
Wait, hold
But
on.
maybe.
Also, $0 going to Punk News.
Okay, -$0 going to John. So sadly, Jello Biafra had a stroke on, I think it was Saturday. He got up in the middle of the night and realized that he couldn't stand up and he couldn't use his left arm. He was rushed to the hospital, and he suffered a stroke. He's doing okay now and he's in physical rehabilitation and he's working on getting better. He says, I still have a lot of great stuff in me, but now I got a lot of rehabbing to do. And so I mean, I don't know if we have any real comments except for, Jello's a man. I'm wishing Jello all the best in a rapid recovery. We need Jello now more than ever. So Jello, Get better. We need you, Jell-O. We need you. So yeah. So Jell-O, get better, man. We're rooting for you. Here's a
Get
cool
better,
story.
Jell-O.
Well said. Here's a cool story. Fugazi have released the Albini sessions. If the listeners don't know, there's kind of famous story on In on the Kill Taker, there's some different variations. But basically, what it really comes down to most of the time is that Fugazi went to Steve Albini's studio, which wasn't even Electric Audio yet, and they were just going to record a couple of tracks just to see that what that would sound like, as opposed to recording with their longtime engineer slash producer Don Zientara. And so they recorded with Albini, but they were recording so quickly they recorded almost an entire album or an entire album's worth. And they were driving back from Chicago to DC, and they were listening to the Albini sessions, and they liked it, but they felt it really wasn't exactly what they were trying to communicate. So for years, these Steve Albini sessions have been shelved, although some of the tracks have come out in bootleg. And then they re-recorded In on the Kill Taker with Don Zientara, and that's the official version. Well, in order to benefit Letters Charity, which is Steve Albini's estate charity, they have released the Albini sessions, which is the entire Fugazi recording at Steve Albini's studio. It's fully mixed and mastered. It's digital only. Do you think this is cool? And do you think that they should make a physical version?
I think this is cool, and I think they should make a physical version, and I have a feeling that they will. My baseless speculation is that this is going to come out next Record Store Day on vinyl.
Ooh, that
Because
seems very, very good.
it could be. But yeah, that's my baseless speculation on that. The two songs that have been released so far sound pretty cool. Sam, what do you think of the Albini sessions?
I love them. I was reading. I was like, ugh. I was reading about this, and I was like, oh, they thought it was a little flat, and I was like, I feel like it's like more punk in ways because it's just like very aggressive take on it, which I guess is a very Albini thing because Albini, like, he records a whole bunch of people before his passing and stuff. He has like a very extensive catalog. I'm actually really glad that this thing came out finally, right? And the cover is actually really, really nice. It's a nice nod to everything because it's essentially like, the cover of In on the Kill Takers, but with not the same, I guess, landscape.
Dumb question. Is that like a picture of Chicago or something?
I'm assuming it's a picture of
Okay.
Chicago. I'm not sure, but it would make sense. It would be Chicago because Albini's from over there. I do love the fact that this is a benefit for Letters Charity, because I, Albini, he did do work with them, and Fred Armisen's actually on the board of this charity, which I was like, oh yay. So they, all of the proceeds are going there, and I feel like that is a great place to put things right now because they essentially help out whoever needs help. I would love this to be pressed because if it is, I will buy it. So, vinyl gods out there, listen. Sam will buy something. So if you make it, people will buy it. However, I'm not sure if this is going to come out on Record Store Day. So I do differ from M on that. Only because I feel like they're going to want to keep this, and they should, as a benefit for Letters for Charity. And Record Store Day is not about charity here.
It sure isn't.
No. So I hope it doesn't come out on a Record Store Day because the money will not be going to a charity if it does. I hope Discord just does it and, maybe tax on extra money to it so that, one, it gets pressed, it they make like, maybe a one-time pressing of it. You may not want to keep it like in print, keep it, super like exclusive, and, maybe inflate the price a little bit, and then take all of the proceeds of that and give that to charity. I think that would totally be fair. I would totally pay money for it. Discord usually keeps their records pretty low in cost. So I think that is a fair compromise for all of that. Yeah, I'm for this. I dig this. I love it, all of it. So let's press it, you guys. Make it happen.
The cover is 875 North Michigan Avenue, a famous skyscraper in Chicago.
Yeah.
Cool.
Which it's cute. It makes sense.
Let's see. I'll just hit this briefly. Then we'll move on. Soft Palms have a new record coming out. Soft Palms is Julia of the Coat Hangers and Scott Montoy. The new record is called In Echo. It's a little bit more upbeat, a little bit more rocky, although it's not full on Coat Hangers. I think more and more we're seeing that there's probably not going to be a Coat Hangers reunion, and I'm making peace with that because the records that the individual members are making, namely Narcissist, Soft Palms, Julie's got there's Julia Julia, and also actually breaking news, Julia is working on a band with Cody Willis of the Melvins. I'm trying to remember who the bass player is. They're working on a band together, which will be kind of exciting. And so anyways, Soft Palms got a new record coming out. We'll have more news about that when it is released, I guess. And tell us about the Sex Pistols. Are you excited? Are you going? Do you care?
So last year, Sex Pistols featuring Frank Carter, so it's all the Sex Pistols except for John Lydon, announced that they were going to be touring North America, and that was supposed to happen in the fall. The Toronto show was on October 1st, but then Steve Jones ended up sustaining a wrist injury. He needed to have surgery. He needed to rehab it, all that business, right? So, a couple days before they announced a rescheduled North American tour dates, they announced tour dates for the UK and Ireland. So when I saw that, I was like, okay, North America should be coming soon. The dates for the UK and Ireland are in December. And those are billed as like celebrating 50 years of punk. This rescheduled North American tour is also billed as that. So everything I think is more or less at the same venue. I know there's a couple that had venue changes, but now they're playing in September and October. So the Toronto show is in September, which is exciting. I will definitely be going to the Toronto show, and I'm very excited. I want to know what they're going to sound like live and how they're going to bring the songs to life live with a different vocalist and how he's going to do. I have seen videos of this. I've seen videos of like Sex Pistols featuring Frank Carter, like online, and they sound really, 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 really good. I never got to see the Sex Pistols in any iteration because they were never touring when I could go to shows. So, like this is really exciting for me. They're one of the bands that like, kind of got me fully into punk. And I think it's going to be a really interesting show. I have very high expectations. So it'll be interesting to see how those are met. But yeah, what do you guys make of the rescheduled dates? Are you going to any of them?
Well, as whack as John Lydon's current statements are, no John Lydon, no Sex Pistols, not the Sex Pistols. I might go and it'll be just like seeing the new Dead Kennedys. You're like, yeah, I saw it, but it's not the real thing and it feels somehow empty. But I might go. There's a good chance that I'm gonna go just to see it, I guess, but it's not gonna be anything earth-shattering. Sam.
I expect full reviews from the two of you when this is in the fall, and it must be at my desk next to the water cooler as soon as you're done. Yeah, Sam's not going. Regardless of them not having a date in New York City, which I was like, what?
That's weird. That's
Weird.
weird.
I was like, how do
Oh,
you go
weird.
from Montreal to like Philadelphia with days in between? There's like a couple days in between that, and then Boston, and then DC. I'm like, who did the mapping for this tour? I was like, seriously. I think there's a missed opportunity here, you guys. I don't know if it was because you're trying to get Madison Square Garden or what. All of these like venues are not even Madison Square Garden level either. So, yeah, no, Sam will not be going. Sam will stay home in her couch, crocheting probably another baby blanket because, you know, it's the fall and seasonal allergies will probably get her at that time.
One thing that I meant to mention, actually, I kind of did some stuff out of order. I skipped this by accident. When We Were Young Fest is not taking place in 2026. As the listeners surely know, When We Were Young Fest is one of these Golden Voice giant festivals where it's $600 for one day and like 60 bands play, and they all play for 20 minutes. Not that I care about this festival at all, because I don't. But the point is we've seen the pause of punk rock bowling, which is a bummer. We're seeing the collapse of Punk of the Park. No Values Fest, which is one of these Golden Voice like mega fests, only happened one time. When We Were Young only happened, I guess, two times or whatever, and is having a pause. Are we at the end of festivals? Or like, is the era of festivals over due to, I guess, the current economics?
Festivals are over. I think Las Vegas tourism might be dying.
Yeah.
Because also there's Best Friends Forever Fest. That happens in Vegas, and they have to take a pause because of the venue issue that they have there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if that fa all festivals are dying or
Or just
it's
Vegas.
just a Vegas thing.
Yeah.
I think it's a Vegas thing because I've been reading articles that Vegas isn't doing so well.
But see, to me, that would mean they would want more festivals to get people to come on out, you see.
Yes, you would think that, but I'm not sure what is happening because the last time I was in Vegas, they were doing a lot of developing. And sometimes developments scare me because if you're developing for housing, then okay. Then you're taking away something else, right? Because you can't just build houses all over the place. Sometimes you do need a vacant lot so that it's, you know, an event space. But then you can't develop an entire high rise and then have like a vacant lot that has all these festivals happen all the time because then you'll get a million noise complaints. Yeah, or they just, you know, turn into parking lots because that's what happens in Vegas
Well, no good
when.
having a parking lot, same if no one's coming there to gamble.
Exactly. I don't know what's happening there. I hope festivals aren't dying. Like, you know, Pooza is live and well in
Yeah.
Montreal. Like, you know, they definitely bounced back after COVID. The fest is still thriving somehow. Down in Florida, like, you know, I still have tons of friends that will go year after year after year, just because they go every year, and I'm just like, my back hurts, my knees hurt, just looking at this. Yeah, I do think festivals are happening. I just don't think that they're happening in Vegas. Even in New York, festivals are happening. They're not like 3-day things. They're more like a 1-day thing, maybe 10 bands type of situation. But they're definitely on a smaller scale, I think.
Well, I just want punk rock bowling to come back, and Sam. That's really all I'm saying. I want punk rock bowling. Let's do. Well, I'll just hit this one real briefly. Beastie Boys are re-releasing To the Five Boroughs as a deluxe box set, which means that there's only one other, I guess, full-on Beastie Boys album that doesn't have the full box set treatment, which would be Hot Sauce Committee Part Two. All the other records have already received the deluxe box set treatment. The new To the Five Boroughs includes all the B-side tracks, which there's a lot. There's about 11 of them, and the original release. Sorry, To the Five Boroughs is kind of notable for being considered maybe one of the weaker Beastie Boys releases, and even the Beastie Boys admit that themselves in the Beastie Boys book. It's still a pretty good record, but it doesn't quite have the thwomp the other records have. Did I pre-order the deluxe box set? Yes, I did. Sam, are you a BC fan? I think you're not really, right?
They are from Brooklyn. I do respect them for being from Brooklyn. I don't necessarily listen to them a lot. However, I do subscribe to the No Sleep Till Brooklyn because I live in Brooklyn. item. I did not pre-order this box set. I don't need any more box sets in my life because they take up too much space in my shelving units. I do believe we have a copy of this, a repress of this
On
already, like
vinyl.
on vinyl in my collection. The fact that there's like, one, two, three, four, five remixes and other stuff attached to it, I don't need in my life. So, yeah.
Sam, I got an original press. I got it for $20 at Rasputin Records Mountain View in 2008. So, you
I
know.
love Rasputin. I love that
I've got
place.
the original, Sam,
Okay. Well, that's fine. That's fine, John. Just leave it to me in your will eventually,
Fair enough. M, do you care about the Beastie Boys at all? Do you care about this at all?
I do enjoy the odd Beastie Boys song. I am not familiar with this album. I have not listened to it. Yeah, but I will check some of the stuff out. Oh, actually, I think I know one song.
It's not, I mean,
That is a lie. I know one song.
it's a good record. It's got Check, Check, Check It Out, which is a cool song, but it's not their best record. It's good. It's not great. You know, not everything has to be the absolute best. One final story. And it's our annual Rock Hall story. And
Oh, yes.
so the Rock Hall's announced its nominees. The nominees this year are Black Crowes, Jeff Buckley, Mariah Carey, Phil Collins, Melissa Etheridge, and I Will Walk Across the Burning Fire for You. Lauryn Hill, Billy Idol, INXS, Iron Maiden, Joy Division, and New Order as one band, which I call total BS on. They both
Yes.
should be in, not
Yeah.
and certainly not as one combined. I mean, they're two different bands. Like I don't know why I do know why the Rock Hall is doing that, but it's just so they're two different bands with different people. You know, it's not like it's one band with two different names like some bands have. They share three members between them, but they each have members that aren't in the other band. New Edition, Oasis, Pink, Sade, Shakira, Luther Vandross, and Wu-Tang Clan. Of course, Sam, Luther Vandross, where did he have an early appearance before he was a solo artist? Luther Vandross, Sam, where?
I have no idea.
David Bowie's Young Americans background singer.
Oh, yeah.
And so yeah, so that's the nominations. It's actually more nominations than there has ever been. And I saw some, I didn't even know how they track this, but there's actually early reports of who's leading in the votes, which I didn't think that was public, but maybe it's public now. So the first question is, every year we do our guesses. Is that boring now, or are people interested in like us guessing, do you think?
It doesn't matter. We like doing it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, fair enough. But you know, I always forget how many people, is it seven people get in? Let me see here.
Or is it five?
I think it's more than five. Here we go. Let's see here. The number is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Okay.
Seven people get in.
Cool.
So yet again, we'll do what we always do, is we'll say who should get in and who will get in. And I have to say, before we even start, is I can't really disagree with any of these nominees here. I think maybe the weakest nominee is New Edition as to whether or not they should get in. Well, and the Black Crowes. So like, and there's always the question is the Rock Hall the We Sold Lots of Records Hall of Fame, or is it the Quality of Music Hall of Fame, or is it the Influential Hall of Fame? If it's the We Sold Lots of Records Hall of Fame, certainly Black Crowes and New Edition should get in. But if it's the influence or quality of music, Black Crowes should not be there. New Edition should not be there. But I can't really, I mean, like I can't really argue with the rest of the groups here. They're all pretty important. You know, Jeff Buckley, famous indie rocker. Mariah Carey, pop diva. Phil Collins, you know, classic rock icon. Melissa Etheridge, one of the first openly gay women in rock music. Lauryn Hill, very influential on R&B and hip hop. Billy Idol, rock legend. INXS, 80s pop. Iron Maiden, metal legends, Joy Division, New Order. I don't even need to justify them. New Order, Oasis, one of the biggest bands of the 90s. Pink, one of the first kind of weirder pop stars. Sade, you know, R&B icon. Shakira, Latin music icon. Luther Vandross, R&B icon. And Wu-Tang, one of the most influential or important hip-hop groups of all time. So I can't really argue with really kind of any of these names here. You know, I think they all have some validity. Here's who should get in, and here's who will get in. The people that should get in are Billy Idol, Joy Division, Wu-Tang, Mariah Carey. I'll say, if we're saying, well, I don't even know what I'm saying. Mariah Carey, Jeff Buckley. I've got two more. Melissa Etheridge, even though I'm not really a fan. And Iron Maiden, I guess. Lauryn Hill probably should get in, but she can get in next year. Even though I'm annoyed at Iron Maiden, they should get in too. And really, Oasis should get in too if we're talking about huge bands. And Luther Vandross kind of too. I gotta start over. Well, here's who should get in. Here's who should get in. I'm gonna start one more time. Billy Idol for sure. Joy Division for sure. Mariah Carey, Melissa Etheridge, Wu-Tang. I got two more. This is kind of tough. I'll say, did I say Melissa Etheridge yet?
Yes.
I did say her. Okay, cool. Then I'll say Shakira. Yeah, definitely Shakira. And I'll say it's between Sade and Mariah Carey. I'll say, I'll say Mariah Carey because she's got more records. That's who should get in. I mean, really, who should get is like Rudimentary Peni and Amoebics, and but I mean, you know what I'm saying, Jello. But you know what I'm saying. Anyway, here's who will get it. Here's who will get in. Wu-Tang, Lauryn Hill, Black Crowes, Oasis, Mariah Carey, Sade, and. Did I say Iron Maiden? Iron Maiden. That's who will get in. But like I said, is setting aside the fact that the Rock Hall is really, I mean, at its foundation, it's got structural issues. And then is it the We Sold Lots of Records fame, Hall of Fame, or is it the Good Music Hall of Fame? I don't know. That being said, all the acts here I think are kind of more worthy than we've seen in the past. You know, like when like. Anyways, Joy Division's not going to get in. They should, but they just won't. Who's going to go next? Em or Sam? Who do you want to get in, and who will get in?
So we go through this every year, and I always have this like weird thing about this is the Rock Hall, and like what constitutes rock for some of these people, right? So that's one. I think that it should just be Hall of Fame, if anything, like rename it.
I agree, yeah.
But I so this is Sam's list of people that should get in. It should be Mariah Carey because come on, you cannot have that high-pitched scream not get into this thing. Definitely Iron Maiden because apparently they are like every fucking metal person like loves most metal like people love Iron Maiden and all that's all they talk about, right? Or Slayer, one or the other. I would love New Order Joy Division get in because I freaking love New Order, and I think they're worthy of it. However, I do also believe that they should be separate bands and not one entity because this does not make sense. Oasis, definitely. If you went to any of those Oasis concerts, they are literally a cult following, including my entire husband turning into a British bloke for a night. Okay.
Did he wear like one of those bucket hats? Did he get like one of
He,
those bucket hats?
oh my God. So he brought, we went to, okay, we got there early to go to the merch place. He bought everything in sight, including the Oasis bucket hat, and he was wearing it the entire night. And like, it was so bad because I had like, round glasses. So he plucked the glasses off my face and he was wearing that, like if he was like Noel or something. And I was like, what is going on? I was like, you literally turned into a British bloke. This is crazy. I love my husband and I love the fact that he's really into things, so it's allowed. So yes, there is an Oasis bucket hat in my house. I'm probably gonna wear it all summer because I need a hat to cover my noggin because sun is not my friend.
Sam, are you wearing it in the 90s ironic way or the genuine fandom? Like, Sam, you'll remember in the 90s, people would wear like John Deere tractor hats, like ironically. You know what I mean? So, are you wearing the bucket hat ironically, Sam, or genuinely?
I think I would wear it genuinely. Like, I do like Oasis. I'm not like, I'm not like there. I'm not there swinging and crying about Oasis. Like, if I was in a footy, like, soccer game, because, Oasis can also be religion to some people, I guess.
Don't they only have three songs? Like, don't they only have three songs?
No, there is more than three songs. There's, a few that were radio hits. I think if like I think John, if you went to the Oasis concert, you would actually have fun.
I
Like,
might.
because you would probably like be like, "Oh, that was an Oasis song? What?"
Plus, I get to talk in an English accent the whole time. Like, blimey, I know Ace is a great band, blimey. Wow,
Exactly,
truth.
exactly. I honestly think I was like in a row of like just fake British. Like the entire row was just doing it, and I was like, "We're in New Jersey. There is no fake British here." I was like, "How many British people are in the New York tri-state area, really?" Anyways, Oasis brings the British out of all of us, I think. But I do think that they're gonna get in. Like it's no question at this point. Like if you went and saw Oasis, they're literally a cult at this point. Sade, freaking love her. She better get in.
Actually, Sam, Sade is a band. The
Yeah.
singer is named
Singer.
Sade Odulama or something like that. Here we go.
Yeah. Well, the band better get in because they're all freaking fantastic. And apparently, I have the
Oh, her name is
band.
Helen. Sade's name is Helen. I thought her
Never
name was
mind. Not
Sade.
even a Sade.
Helen, I
Because,
do.
yeah.
Oh, cool.
So she has a real
Helen.
name.
I always thought she had like some like. I thought her name was like, I'm like, oh, Sade. It's Helen. That's plain old Helen.
Well, I guess cool people could have normal people names. Is that a thing? Like, well, or we're just all like
Yes.
Madonnas of this world with one name. Okay, so I do believe that New Edition should be in, only because I was like, New Edition is like one of the, like, so Sam has this entire sect of her life where she loves boy bands. New Edition is like one of the early boy bands, if you really think of it, as a group, right? So I do believe that they belong in this Hall of Fame. I'm not going to say Rock Hall of Fame, but Hall of Fame. And Luther Vandross should be in it, and Wu-Tang Clan definitely should be in it, because if I didn't say it, I wouldn't be a Staten Islander, wouldn't I? Yeah, I don't think that New Order's getting in out of my list, which is sad to me. I also don't think New Edition's getting in. I do think the other ones I've mentioned does have a fighting chance to get in. I also do think the Hall of Fame is kind of like a popularity contest. I don't even know what matrix they actually use to do this, because it seems like we figure it out every year and we're always wrong.
We're always
So,
wrong.
yeah. So I'm like, whatever at this point. Yeah, that is my picks. Em, what is your picks?
Ooh, okay. Who I think should get in? Joy Division, New Order, and I agree with what both of you said. I think they should definitely be nominated as separate bands. I don't like that they're nominated as one. I think it's silly. Billy
It's a cop
Idol.
out.
It
It is.
is. The reason they're doing it is they want Joy Division to get in to like be kind of respectable and have like actual like good bands in there. But it fails every year, and I'll explain why in a hot second. But go ahead and say it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So Joy Division, New Order, Billy Idol, Do-do-do. Wu-Tang Clan, Iron Maiden, because like I'm kind of surprised you're not already in. Phil Collins for like the same thing. Mariah Carey, because yeah, her range, and also she like was in a grunge band or something when she was younger, so she
Yeah.
has rock roots. And then my last one, my number seven. I think it's gonna be Oasis because they've had an insane year or couple years, you know, and like people are really riding high on Oasis, so I think they're definitely gonna get in because it's all fan vote. Or not all fan vote, but this category is mostly fan voted. So those would be who I would like to get in, who I think's gonna get in. I think the Black Crowes are gonna go. I think Mariah Carey is. I think INXS is gonna get in. I think Wu-Tang Clan's gonna get in. I think I already said Oasis is going to get in. Luther Vandross, I think, which again, very, very, very much deserved. And let's see. Melissa Etheridge. But again, like they're all good. They all deserve to be in there. I don't really know a lot about INXS, but that's cool.
They're bad. So here's the thing I was referencing earlier. There's the fan vote leaderboard. And frankly,
Ooh.
the fan vote actually is like almost meaningless. There's over like 100 votes or whatever from like the critics or judges. The fan vote collectively is worth about one vote out of 100, so it's almost worthless.
Oh.
Here is, but the fan, the, here here's the latest from the fan vote, which to me is absolutely bizarre. You guys want me to go from least to highest or highest to least?
Highest to least.
Yeah.
I'll give you each one. I'm not gonna make you every time. Sam and M, guess who you think is the highest?
Oasis.
Iron Maiden.
You are both going to be extremely shocked. Phil Collins leading the pack, 387,000 votes. New
Oh shit.
Edition, second place, 366,000. Pink, 361,000. Luther Vandross, 290,000. INXS, 262,000. Billy Idol, 260,000. Sade, 250,000. Right now in the losers bracket, Wu-Tang, 225,000. Mariah Carey, 219,000. Lauryn Hill, 198,000. Iron Maiden, 180,000, Shakira 175,000, Melissa Etheridge 168,000, Oasis way down in the bottom third 130,000, Black Crowes 122,000, Joy Division dismal second to last 108,000, Jeff Buckley 86,000. Isn't that shocking?
We are always wrong. Why don't we even do this?
I'm shocked. I mean, I'm not shocked about Phil Collins. I'm shocked that New Edition, Pink, and Luther Vandross and the INXS. And Sade, frankly, and Billy Idol. I'm shocked that they're all so high up. I know.
Well,
INXS fans, I guess.
they should give us voting rights. Like we should have like the vote that counts, you know?
And you're already voting in Canada or whatever. What are you, like the Factor Award or something?
Oh, not quite factor.
Polaris?
Polaris.
Whatever. But I think M would make better picks than the people here. So, anyways, that's the
Thanks.
Rock Hall. Yet again, disappointing and depressing. But I'll tell you what's not disappointing and depressing. First of all, the Punk News podcast. Second of all, the fact that we got Em and Sam on the show. Third of all, May 16, Descadena doing All Black Flag for the first time since 1981. One time only show. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be rad. And it's not in Kensington. August 1, Kepi and the Slackers doing All Clash. Dambert doing All Clash. Dracula is doing All Clash. The Drew Gets doing All Clash. Both shows only $20, all the ages. You can't beat that. And you don't even have to vote to get in. You just come on in and pay $20. It's going to be rad. Sam and Em and Sam, anything you want the listeners to think about on the way out the door this evening?
Don't blame your fans for things because we will turn on you
That's true.
and not go to your shows, and it's your fault.
You know who they should have booked, Sam, because no matter how much he criticizes his own, actually, I know that he's ever criticized his own fans, but no matter what he does, the fans will never turn on him. Do you know who, Sam?
John G.
No. People throw me every 3 seconds.
I
People,
know.
when I threw a $12 Joe Jack Talcum versus Paternoster show, I got criticized for $12.
Actually, no, M. Moore. M. Moore never gets criticized.
Morrissey. They should have booked Morrissey. Morrissey is bad. You never
God.
turn on him. So there you go. Em, any closing words for the listeners tonight?
Let's see.
Something profound.
Em, you get to hang out with only
Go
one of these.
vote.
Em, you only get to hang out with one of these people for 6 hours, but you have to spend 6 hours with them. Billy Idol, Iron Maiden,
Ooh.
or Sade.
Ooh, that's tough. I think I would go with Billy Idol because I think he would like you'd be able to do like some really fun stuff, and I think he'd just be like, "Hey, let's go do this." You know?
I think you're right. Sam,
Yeah.
6 hours you must hang out with Mariah Carey, Melissa Etheridge, or Lauryn Hill.
Ooh.
Ooh. Probably Mariah Carey because she's out of her damn mind. And she's probably gonna get me in trouble.
She might be mean to you, though.
It's fine. She's a diva.
Yeah.
She does this normally. Like, it's totally fine.
Well, there you have it. It's totally fine. This is the Pungus Podcast and Sam and M. When will we see the beautiful people yet again?
Next
Next
week.
week.